فَمَرُّوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبضن ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه بل لجوا في عتو ونفور أفمن يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا أهدى أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإن
آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعملون فإذا قضيت الصلاة من فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
If we can have another salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, before we welcome our dear Sheikh Osama, just a quick reminder. Of course, as always, alhamdulillah, we are very honored and blessed to have all of the children here. And we definitely want them to be comfortable and, you know, really love coming here and enjoy the environment. So we have the space in the back, we have the space in the overflow area. And if any kids do, get a little bit, like, too rowdy and they need, like, more space and more freedom, then we also have the cafeteria downstairs is open space. And then we have a room also set up in the, through the cafeteria downstairs, there's a room for nursing mothers or any moms who have children and they need like any privacy for whatever reason, that's also set up, inshallah. So with that, inshallah, we'll welcome our respected Sheikh Osama with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So it's the first time Allah has given us the tawfiq to gather after the month of Ramadan. It's a blessing to see you again. And I hope that although the month of Shawwal is normally a cool down month for us, so spiritually we try our best to take advantage of the month of Ramadan. And there's a lot of a'mal to do. But we don't find in the month of Shawwal that there's the same amount of a'mal that, for instance, we're doing in the month of Ramadan. Does that mean we don't have anything to do? No. What we're looking to do during the month of Shawwal is to go back to strengthening our spiritual core. There were certain responsibilities that we have throughout the year, things we could shore up. And if they're shored up, then we're able to preserve what we gained in the month of Ramadan. So inshallah, we're able to do that. Now, today, brothers and sisters, there are three areas that I'd like to talk about, if Allah gives tawfiq. The three areas that I'd like to share a few words on, one would be the public execution of Shirin Abu Aqileh. We can talk a little bit about that. Number two is that Allah has given us the tawfiq. We're coming to the end of the second year of the Hadi Institute Early Learning Center. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that, the efforts that have been made. And number three, I had promised a topic before we began, but it was a topic that was going to take time to address properly. And that was a topic which was going to have a dual effect, both on how to raise our children, but then also how to model the correct Islamic behavior. That third topic, brothers and sisters, was the idea of raising our boys to be men and our women, to be flowers, as Amirul Mu'mineen said. So we need to talk a little bit about that, inshallah. But we'll begin with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So sadly, all of us witnessed the brutal public execution of a 51-year-old journalist, Shirin Abu Aqileh. I'm sure, brothers and sisters, up until now you've seen the videos. That lady was wearing the press vest with the bold press written on it. She had the blue helmet on. It was clear that this woman is a journalist. When you listen to the eyewitness accounts, they knew and were firing at them before the murder. So it was directly they were trying to murder these individuals. And although she had the helmet, although she had the gear on, obviously her ears weren't covered, so they shot her in her ear and blew her face off. I'm sure brothers and sisters saw that after that, that hero, the Palestinian brother who came from over the wall, there was one sister who was still alive. You don't even know where to run. She's standing there. She's sitting on her knees. She's just lost the other journalist. And now she doesn't know where to do. She was trying to hide behind a tree. A champion, a hero, comes into direct sniper fire, comes down. He tries to move the lifeless body of Shireen. They continue to shoot. He grabs that lady, the other lady. He is able to bring her over the thing. He goes back and tries to move the lifeless body of this hero. It doesn't stop there, though. You know that hours later, at her wake, in her home, the Israeli forces attack their home. You would think, well, that's despicable. They're cowards. There's nothing they could do that's more low, more savage. But they didn't stop there. Brothers and sisters, they attacked the funeral procession. And you're watching those people try to hold a casket while they're being beaten with batons. They're throwing stun grenades. And the people, unarmed, in the face of those bullies and savages, are trying to keep the casket from falling. You would think that's enough. But don't you know the IDF attacked the hearse? They broke the window of the hearse. So one question that we have to ask ourselves is, we know that Israel is an apartheid state. Why would an apartheid state do something like this? Because you see, there are daily acts of terrorism which Israel performs, right? They're cowards, they're bullies, those are unarmed people. But an apartheid state is very different. In an apartheid state, brothers and sisters, you are subhuman. I can do with you what I want. In addition to the daily atrocities, what they do is high-profile barbarity. Now, you and I, we haven't forgotten. We've been watching this issue in Palestine for a long time. Do you remember the activists, Rachel Corrie, when they bulldozed her body? Do you remember the medic, Rosan? Do you remember the paraplegic on the wheelchair? And none of us can forget the child, Muhammad al-Durra. This is in front of the camera. You remember his father flailing his arms as a small child. And then to see the child deliberately killed by these tyrants and these beasts. My question to you is, why is it that an apartheid regime does this openly? Because God only knows what they do to defenseless children in jail. These are grown men carrying the casket. The world is looking. Everybody's covering it. Grown men, and they're beating them, throwing stun grenades. What danger does someone carrying a casket? What does someone in an apartheid regime, when you are subhuman, what do they do to little children? This is the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg. Brothers and sisters, an apartheid regime like this wants to send you a message. The message is, either you accept that you're subhuman, that you're a slave, that's your role in life, or you'll be dealt with in the most savage way, with impunity. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, a question. But the question that I want to ask you, people who are second-class citizens can't answer. Second-class citizens can't give me an answer to this. Let me build up the question a little bit. Israel, as I said, is an apartheid state. It's also an expansionist regime. What it means is that they want to go from the Nile to the Euphrates and from there to the rest of the world. Right now, they're caught in their own borders. Otherwise, they'd be doing this in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran, in Baha'i. They're an expansionist regime. You're subhuman. Either you accept the premise and live like an animal, or you're to be dealt with. My question to you is this: as free people, do Palestinians have the right to self-defense in the face of these animals? Do they have the right to self-defense? Our answer as Muslims is that this is a God-given duty, a right and a responsibility. They must stand up to these tawagheet. And there's no solution. They're animals. People who attack ambulances, beat the elderly. Like, what else is left? The next question is, what is our responsibility over here?
Because that's responsibility of our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Those who are having their homes usurped, who are having, just now they're approving more settlers. Those people have one responsibility. What is our responsibility over here? Now, bullies and cowards like to operate privately. They don't like their sins exposed. They like to be able to deal with people with impunity, but they don't want anybody to raise their voice. That's what bullies are like. By the way, corporate media is complicit in the shedding of the blood of those Palestinians. You've seen the coverage. Imagine, brothers and sisters, this was in Ukraine. Can you imagine the screaming, the shouting, women's rights, free speech, attacking a funeral? So corporate media is just as guilty in maintaining the status quo and the idea that it's okay to have an apartheid regime. It's okay for some people to be insan and the rest of you to be animals, and that's just your lot. My question is something else. What is our duty? What is our duty? How do we stop this carnage? How do we, in the night, we feel that our conscience is calm? We've done our responsibility. One of the things, there's three things that I want to mention, and then inshallah we'll move on to the next part of the speech. One of them, brothers and sisters, is to introduce the solution. What is the solution? Islam in its entirety. Islam is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience of the wali. Let's see how the Ahlul Bayt have defined Islam. They say this, نَحْنُ أَصْلُ الْخَيْرِ. We, Ahlul Bayt, the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, is the root of all goodness. وَفُرُوعُهُ طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ. And the branches of goodness are the other acts of obedience. But let's not forget the solution, the root, the salvation. How does mankind make it out? They say, وَعَدُوُّنَ أَصْلُ الشَّرِ. The wilaya of the taghut, أَصْلُ الشَّرِ. This all starts somewhere. The rest of it, those atrocities, the barbarism, they say, وَفْرُوهُ مَعْسِيَةُ اللَّهِ. The branches are that barbarism that you see. So mankind needs to know what Islam is. True Islam without backing down, without changing it. Number two, we need to teach the people of the world, including the Muslims, what Islam says about the children of Adam. We said the apartheid state operates on this premise that there are animals and there are insan. What do we say? Islam says that we are all the children of Adam, not just the Zionist baby killers. And God has granted us karama, dignity. God. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. God has given us dignity. What is Islam, this wonderful religion? What does it say about the oppressed children of Adam? What if you and I see that there's someone who is treating the children of Adam as an animal? Can we be bystanders? Do we have to say anything? What does Islam say? Because Imam Ali taught us this. You know that lady was a Christian, right? What does Amirul Mu'mineen say? Imam Ali says this, فَإِنَّهُمْ sinfan. People, God's creation, Bani Adam, they're two types. إِمَّا أَخٌ لَكَ فِي الدِّينِ. Either they're your brothers in creation, وَإِمَّا نَذِيرٌ لَكَ فِي الْخَلْقِ. Or they're like you in creation. She's also insan. She can't be treated this way. So what does Islam say about the mazloom? When you and I see a mazloom, not only in Palestine, right here, in our own families, what does Islam say? This is now from our prophet. He says, "Man samia rajulan." Whoever hears a person, yunadi, ya lil muslimin, who calls out to the believers for help. You and I now, Yemen, Bahrain, Syria, Iraq, here, wherever there's a mazloom, whoever hears a person calling out, ya lil muslimin, the prophet says this, falam yujibhu, and the person's a spectator, falaysa bi muslim. This person is not a Muslim. In Islam, believing in la ilaha illallah, submission to Allah, following and obeying the wali, means I have a responsibility to the mazlumin. I can't be a spectator. I have to raise my voice. Because there's a temptation. You see, there's, amongst the African Americans, they used to call these people who didn't want to stand up to the tyrant, Uncle Tom. They were Uncle Toms. And those Uncle Toms would try to tell you to be a second-class citizen. Don't poke the bear. Don't get them angry. In the time of Imam Hussein, there was an Uncle Tom too. That Uncle Tom came to Imam Hussein as he was about to depart for Iraq, and he told the Imam, he said, come back to Medina. Don't go over and fight those wild people. You don't have to raise your voice. Just come back. Listen to his words. Inshallah, Allah will take care of him. Maybe Yazid won't live long. Be a spectator. What did Imam Hussein say to that Uncle Tom? He said, "Uffin li hadha al kalam." Those words are disgusting. Shame on you even for saying them. That you watch. You don't stand up. You don't resist. Now, it's true. Because the zalim wants to act with impunity and wants that the world not hear, because we talked about corporate media. We talked about how they're being, right? It angers the zalim. It angers the taghut. He doesn't like it. But you see, brothers and sisters, one of your principles is to anger the zalim. If there is a protest, and in the end, the zalim pats you on the head, that's against the Quran. The Quran says, لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, in order that they enrage the enemies of mankind. It's a Quranic principle. Next. So part of the solution, telling mankind, teaching mankind, the other one goes back to us and our self-development. Brothers and sisters, we want to be careful not to be part of the problem. We need to, before we tell anybody else, to submit to Allah and the wali of the time. I say this for myself first. We're not supposed to be sinning or have a problem with God's deen. Even in the corner of our hearts, we're still resisting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we don't trust Allah enough to love him. Why is it that you're still fighting back to Allah? I don't trust him enough. I have to have my own back. I have to protect myself. What does Allah say? Ayat of Quran. God tells the Prophet to tell us this. Qul, say, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah. If you love Allah, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. Obey me. Follow me. Submit. If you do that, yuhbibkum Allah. God will love you. The Islamic idea is to trust God. To submit to God, to follow God's rules, not to pick and choose. Inshallah, Allah gives us tawfiq to do our responsibility. Salawat, please. Now, the second point that I'd like to share with brothers and sisters is that alhamdulillah, with the help of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, with the dua of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, with the blood, sweat, and tears of the staff, volunteers, teachers, and teachers' assistants, we are now coming close to the second year of our early learning center. It's been difficult, it's been challenging, but brothers and sisters, you're part of something much bigger than yourselves. If you and I see dhulm in the world, if you and I want to rebuild the Islamic civilization, if you want to see the Imam return, the most important infrastructure that we need are human pillars. Here, when you're part of the Early Learning Center, where you're helping to do it right, and I want to explain what it means to do it right. What does it mean for a family? We're going to be talking about a certain life skill. Families are supposed to have that and model it. Children are supposed to grow up in that environment. If we can grow up, then we'll see those soldiers of the Imam emerge. Allow me to share a little bit of the thawab that brothers and sisters are getting, the rewards of being part of something much bigger than ourselves. Because you're teaching the most valuable and the most vulnerable. What does the hadith say? This is from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All of our teachers, teachers' assistants, volunteers, everybody who's involved, you mu'mineen and mu'minat, who are involved in making something like this happen, what does the Prophet say? Man sanna sunnatan hasana. Whoever, Allah gives the tawfiq to start a good sunnah. These children are innocent, masoom. Whoever establishes a good sunnah, teaches these children, falahu ajruha. First of all, you get the reward of doing that good deed. Wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah. Every single person who acts on that good sunnah, you as a mu'min or mu'mina will be part of that. These young children who grow up in the right environment, those parents who model good behavior, those teachers who embody Islamic akhlaq, and those children then learn every action that they do, ila yawm al-qiyamah. Everybody who's affected by those children, ila yawm al-qiyamah. You get that reward. Wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah. Without God taking away anything from the person who's doing it. Min ghayri an yunqasa min ujurihim shay. God's not going to take anything away from the others. But as a pioneer, as somebody who put in the blood, sweat, and tears, this is the reward that you get. The spiritual rewards of being a teacher assistant, somehow involved. Look at the hadith. Inna mu'allim al-khayr. Truly, the person who is mu'allim al-khayr, who teaches good things. This is Imam Sadiq. He says, لَتَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُ دُوَابُ الْأَرْضِ وَحِتَانُ الْبَحْرِ. All of the creatures on the earth, all of the fish in the sea, they do istighfar for this person. God, the hadith continues, وَكُلُّ صَغِيرَةٍ وَكَبِيرَةٍ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ وَسَمَائِهِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth, and the heavens and the earth, great and small, does istighfar for those who are involved in this noble process. So this is tawfiq from Allah, that Allah has granted us. Now, the 12 years that we have these young children, these amanat, at our disposal, are their best years for learning. They're impressionable. They're close to their fitrah. It's also a little bit of a heavy responsibility. If the wrong things are taught by a practicing Muslim who defies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, that's scary. What is it that the Imam says? قلب الحدث, the heart of these small children. قلب الحدث كالأرض الخالية. It's like an empty field. ما ألقي فيها من شيء قبلته. If there's anything that's cast in it, it accepts it. This is a chance. Now, you know, this fatwa that we have from our Maraja where it says, it is not allowed to send non-baligh children to non-Muslim schools where the parents are fearful their children's religious beliefs will be affected. Their akhlaq will be corrupted. False teachings and false practices are promoted. If children are non-baligh, we're going to have to answer to God from that. If the schools place the children in places where they're not able to stay from false, sinful, and misguiding material, it is haram to put these children in these environments. Brothers and sisters, something that sometimes we don't keep in mind is how slowly secular values seep in to the hearts and minds of our children. Sometimes, you and I, we have practicing children, but we're not aware of how the secular values are slowly seeping into the minds. It's not just practice. There are usul that are there in a secular system. Like what? I mentioned a few of them that are slowly in the minds of these innocent children. We said it were like an empty field. What happens if you're in those environments? Things like individualism, feminism, humanism, moral relativity, evolution, homosexuality, the separation of church and state. These are principles. Children absorbing them, they're practicing. But individualism is something I learned, I picked up. Consumerism, false gods. A truly Islamic teacher is very different. As Malcolm X says, he says, only a fool would let his enemy teach his kids. An Islamic teacher considers the children to be an amana from Allah. And God says in the Quran, Inna Allah ya'murukum. Allah has commanded all of us. Ya'murukum has commanded you an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. God has commanded all of us to return the amanat to their rightful owners. Those who are teachers, those children are amanat. Those who are parents, their children are amanat. God says, return them the way they came. They came close to the fitrah. So if we're trying to work to build that Islamic civilization, what are some of the strategic goals that we have for these children? One, brothers and sisters, create the grounds for your children's inner talents to flourish. Number two, nurture these children so they come out with a strong Islamic identity, pride in Islam, not their heads down. Number three, teach them beneficial knowledge. Instill the love of learning in the children. That's what we're trying to do. Not just teach, love of learning. Teach them Islamic life skills. There are certain principles that we're supposed to learn. I'm going to be talking about some of the Islamic principles afterwards, right? Cooperation, being able to follow the rules, right? There's a lot of principles, Islamic life skills. Brothers and sisters, in this Islamic school, we're supposed to model submission to Allah, purity of the nafs, correct interaction with Allah's creation. These children need to see this. We also have to teach our children that Islam embraces and encourages resistance. I was so happy to see that video that we had made of our small children before the day of Quds. I was so happy to see those parents, those grandparents who brought their children out to the day of Quds, learning to resist from the beginning. Now, salawat please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ali Muhammad, rajul faraj. Can you guys still hear me, or is you can still hear? Okay, because I heard something. Salawat please. Third thing that I would like to, yeah, please. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We good? I guess we're supposed to do another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The third thing, the third point we were trying to address was the idea of at least beginning a very important topic. That is, we want to raise our children, train our children from the very beginning, and to model these behaviors so our children, our boys, grow up to be men amongst men. And our girls, as Amirul Mu'mineen says, they are rayhana. Our women are flowers. Part of our strategic goal, we have to teach life skills. One of the things that we're supposed to do in a Muslim school is to teach life skills. As a family, we need to be teaching these life skills. As an ummah, I need to be explaining these things so that we're all pulling together to make this, inshallah, a reality. So, one of the things that now we have to think about as a school, but also for brothers and sisters, for you who are either now parents or will be parents, one of the life skills that we have to teach our children, this is going to be what I'm going to talk about today, is a subset from this greater principle. We want our children to learn proper spouse selection from an Islamic point of view. We want them to learn how to thrive in their marriages and to stay married, not just survive the marriage. That little boy, sorry, it was a little girl, she came to her mommy and she said, "Mommy, why is it that women wear white when they get married?" And the mom said, "Because that's the happiest day of their lives." And the little girl was like, "Mashallah." Then she turned to her, she said, "Mommy, why do men wear black?" That's not the Islamic way. To be thriving in our marriages, experiencing marital bliss, those rules are also supposed to be there. Number three, the basics of Islamic child rearing. These are life skills, Islamic life skills. As a school, we have to think about how can we make it so that within the first 18 years, because when do we need to learn these things? Islamic principle. I need to learn the rules of my taklif before my taklif begins. You don't wait until I'm 15, and then say, "Well, now, wait, stay up all night, son, I'm going to teach you how to make salah." We teach the rules before the taklif applies. So that means our youngsters, before they get to the age, because we believe in early marriage, they need to, those first 18 years, we've got to figure it out. So those children, because some of them will be, inshallah, if we do it the right way, they'll be early, ready before 18. There they've covered proper spouse selection, how to stay married, and what are those basic Islamic principles for how to raise children. Now, if we do this, there's going to be great success for us, because remember, let's big picture, we want to liberate the globe. We're trying to train the elite soldiers of the Mahdi. If there's happy families, warm, inviting homes, we're going to be able to raise those soldiers of the Mahdi. Having proper homes, I mean, we have to know these life skills. But then they have to not just be book knowledge, they have to be implemented. You and I have to do something where these life skills become the common culture. Those parenting classes that we have, those need to become the common culture. We know what we're doing. We're modeling the right behavior. If we can make it a culture and an expectation, Our children will see the results of this.
I mentioned this before. As a practicing Muslim or Muslimah, as a mu'min or mu'minah, if you're married, you have to work to try to make sure your marriage is strong, it's solid, it's something your children look to and they admire. Try your best. Don't have your children say, "Mommy and Daddy are practicing Muslims and marriage is hell. I'll never get married, I know that." We have to at least try. It doesn't mean you and I, we can control our spouses. Our focus here is, what's my responsibility? Asiya was married to Fir'aun. Asiya, the worst man on the earth, who's fighting the wali of the time, that was her husband. It can be the case that I don't have a perfect spouse and I still am happy, I'm moving towards Allah. Sayyida Maryam never got married. Never got married. She's successful. It doesn't mean that I'm ruined if it's not perfect. No. I'm trying to, as a parent, model good behavior. Learn what that good behavior is. Teach that to my children. Implement that, because that's my responsibility. Now, we talked a little bit about when that should happen, right? Before they become physically mature, they start wanting to get married, we want to have covered these three areas, right? Our parents, our fathers and mothers need to feel the weight of this and to be trying to make sure this happens. So what happens is now, you and I, based on this Islamic principle, we're going to be training our daughters and sons for different roles. This doesn't mean that men are better than women or women are better than men. We've had those discussions before. The best of you, in the eyes of Allah, atqaakum. Everybody do your own responsibility. But does Islam say there are certain gender-specific roles? Yes! Do we apologize for that? Do we say you should have transgender inmates who have assaulted women and housed them in the same jail cell as women? Do we say that in Islam? Do we say transgender men competing with women in sports? What does Islam say? And we don't apologize. Islam says, God says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرْ كَالْأُنْثَى. Men and women are not the same. There's gender-specific roles. We don't apologize for this. Now, we're training our boys. Right now, I'm just introducing the topic. We're not going to get into all the details. What are we trying to do? Where are we trying to go? We're trying to train our boys so that eventually they can become a wali, a leader. In the way that Islam says, Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum, that kind of a leader. Right? But a leader, make decisions, not fearful, not nervous. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Decisive, fair, men. We're also trying to train our girls so that they embrace the role of being a flower. They're not trying to compete. As Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Don't want those gifts that Allah has given to others. He's favored others in certain ways. That I want to be that. I wish I was that. Islam is actually very clear about that. This is one of those macho hadith where Imam Sadiq says this, لَعْنَ اللَّهُ. Sorry, لَعْنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet would curse Al-mutashabbihina min al-rijal bin nisa. Those men who wanted to be like women. Wal-mutashabbihat min al-nisa bin rijal. Those women who wanted to be like men. No, there are gender-specific roles. But because they're different, there are six things that you and I have to get into our minds from the beginning. As teachers, we have to get into the minds of the children from the beginning in order to embrace God's roles, God's rules. Otherwise, when we see that sometimes there's differences, there'll be pushback.
sometimes we as Muslims, when we see the rules of Allah, we might push back. Unless we can remember these principles. What are those principles? We want to submit to Allah entirely. Allah is the creator. God is the khaliq of men and women. The khaliq. God is the legislator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the rules. God is wise. Hakim. God is Alim. He's all-knowing. He knows. He is free of all need. We don't believe that God is self-serving. That God favors men or God favors, or He needs us. We believe we serve a wise God, but if He's made it a rule, who's the beneficiary? Us. A wise God, free of all need. And God is just. Allah is fair. If He's made a rule, Allah is fair. He's going to take care of us. So, inshallah, going forward, slowly, slowly, we're going to start trying to see the differences in how we raise our children so that they end up being those ultimate soldiers of the Imam. But we end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So thank you again to everybody for coming out, and thank you to Sheikh Osama for sharing this knowledge with us. Just a couple of really quick announcements. Next Friday, inshallah, next Friday, May 20th, we won't have a program. The Friday after that, inshallah, May 27th, we'll be getting together to commemorate the Shahada of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So just to kind of keep that in mind for your schedules. And then also, like, we have the book section over there for everybody to kind of check out. We have, alhamdulillah, a good selection of books, and the plan is to continue to expand it. We also have those Qur'ans that are divided by the ajza, available for $45 donation, inshallah. And then the prices of the other books are also posted up there. So inshallah, you guys can take a look at it on, as you make your way out, inshallah, whenever you do. Thank you to everybody for attending, and sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور تكاد تميز من الغيظ كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبضن ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه بل لجوا في عتو ونفور أفمن يمشي
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون.